friends know it, and we talk about it, and we laugh at it, and so forth. But when we come to accountability, it's some serious steps that we need to take to God. It's a choice. And I remember way back in childhood, I have no idea what grade I was in, but a lady where I grew up, they would call her an English lady, came to our school. She had these little footprints. First said, know it. The second one said, show it. Third one said, walk it. The fourth one said, talk it. She would put this on the blackboard and we sing it. Know it, show it, walk it, and talk it. That's the way you are known for a Christian in shoes, was the song. And I, you know, it was a sing-song, a song that we sang, and it stuck in here. It influenced me. Many years later, I look at it, I still remember it. And I think the power of influence, we often underestimate it, how it affects the younger generation, even the smallest to a teenager. So my message is walking before God, and I'm going to start with Genesis, I don't remember, it's 14 maybe. I'm going to read a little out of 17. I'm going to read 1 to 8. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. Be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee. I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee. Kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after in thy generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and thy seed after. If you are a born-again Christian, you are part of that seed. The Lord told Abraham, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, has the same message for us today. We are to obey because he is God. That is reason enough. It says, walk before me. That's a command. If you don't think the benefits are worth it, consider who God is. The only one with power and ability to meet your every needs. Genesis 18 says, For I know him, that's Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the ways of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Here we see that he will command his children and household after him. They shall keep the ways of the Lord to do justice and judgment. This really spoke to me. Command his children. If we command our children, first we have to know it. We have to show it. We have to walk it. And we have to talk it. Some of these you could stagger around a different way, but we cannot teach our children something we're not walking in. Is that true? And they shall do justice and judgment and keep the ways of the Lord. I'm going to go over to Genesis 24. Abraham went through life a long time before he had a child. And it looked for a while there that his servant, oldest servant of Eliezer, if I pronounce that right, might have get that inheritance, but God had bigger plans. But Eliezer was influenced by Abraham. I'm going to read most of this chapter. Abraham was old and was well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of the house that ruled over that he had. Now here we see a godly man had a servant that was under that command to keep the ways of the Lord, rule over all that he had. Most of us don't put rulers over our household if we can't trust them or that has the ability to do so. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, thy rule that had rule over all that he had, put, I pray, thy hand under my thigh. I will make thee swear by the Lord, God of heaven, God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring the son again unto the land whence thou came? Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not thy son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that sweared unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angels before thee. And thou shalt take a wife unto my son, from thence. And if the woman be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son hither again. The servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham and his master and swore to him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down within the city by the well of a water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me Godspeed this day, good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of the man of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, she shall drink. She shall say, drink, I will give thee camels drink also. Let the same be she that has appointed for thy servant Isaac. Therefore, I know that thou showest kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, and Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. A damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. She went down to the well, filled up her pitcher, came up, and the servant ran to meet her. Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. She said, drink, my lord. She hastened, let down her pitcher, her hand and give him drink. When she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for the camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher in the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his pace, to wit, whether the Lord has made his journey prosper or not. And it came to pass, as the camel had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring and half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets from his hand and 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethel, the son of Melchi, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provider enough, and room to lodge. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord, God of my master Abram, and who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master. The damsel ran and told them of his father's these things. And Rebekah had a brother. His name was Laban. Laban ran out unto the man and unto the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon her sister's hand, and when she had heard the words of Rebekah, when he had heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, Thus speaketh the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house and ungirded his camel, gave straw and provider for the camel and water to wash his feet. And the men's feet that were with him, they were sent. And there we sat, meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, Speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly. He has become great and has given him flocks, herds, silver, gold, maidservants, menservants, camels, ass. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. My master made me swear, Thou shalt not take a wife of my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, take a wife unto my son. And I say unto my master, Preadventure, this woman will not follow me. And he said, That the Lord before whom I walk will send his angels with thee, and prosper thy ways, and shall take a wife for my son of the kindred in my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this oath, which when thou cometh to thy kindred, if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And as I have come this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God, of my master Abraham, if thou be willing, if now thou do prosper in the way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. It shall come to pass, when the virgin comes forth to dry, I say unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher. And she said to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman who the Lord has appointed my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my whole heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well, drew the water, and said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste, let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and said, Drink, I will give the camels also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her, and she said, Who daughter out there? And she said, Thy daughter of Bethel, Nora's son. And I have put earrings on her face and bracelets on her hand. I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord. Bless the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has led me in the right way. Notice this, he has led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. Now, if you will deal kind and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me, that I may turn my right hand or do so left. I'm going to stop there. And the story, as most of us know, is that the blessing was put on Rebecca and she left. But as I look into this, I see a servant, a humble servant under the master of Abraham, Abraham's master that humbled himself. And there was something in here that caught my attention. He said, I will send his angels with thee. I think that was in 40. It says, and he said unto me, the Lord whom I walk will send his angels before thee. Prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son. Is it still scriptural that angels prosper our way? That was a question that came to mind. You don't have to answer it, but I'm going to take a little side trail on that from and show you what I found in the Old Testament, that there was seemingly people saw angels quite often, and it says in Genesis 48, Jacob blessed Joseph and said, go before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angels which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad, and let my name, that name is the seed, be upon on them. In Matthew, it says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father. Our concerns for children must parallel God's treatment of them. Certain angels are assigned to watch over children, and they have direct access to God. These words ring out sharply in cultures where children are taken lightly, ignored, aborted. If their angels have constant access to God, the least we can do is to allow children to approach us easily in spite of our far too busy schedules. When Christ came to earth, angels announced his birth. Christ was tempted in the wilderness. Satan came, if thou be son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hand thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou dashest thy foot against a stone. Here we see the enemy trying to trip up somebody that was walking out God's will. But he said, there was two words, cast thyself down. If he would have done it, they would have listened to Satan. Angels are active this day. They are active through the Testament. Satan and Satan uses script to try to convince Jesus to sin. Sometimes friends or associate will present attractive and convincing reasons why we should try something, you know it's wrong. The power of influence can go both ways. It can be a godly influence, it can be a wrong influence. That is the reason why we need to know it, show it, walk it, talk it. They may even find Bible verses that seem to support their viewpoint. Study the Bible carefully, especially the broader contents of a specific verse, so that you understand God's principles, which is God's heartbeat for living, what he has for your life. Only if you really understand the whole Bible can you recognize errors of interpretation when people take verses out of context and twist them to say what they want to say. When you face Satan and must deal with temptation, turmoil, he may bring and face turmoil remember Jesus. He used God's word against Satan and won. You can do the same. Yes, angels are ministering spirits. God uses angels to build the New Testament church. Peter was released from the prison by an angel. Cornelius had a vision of angels speaking to him. An angel told Philip to move towards the Enoch to minister to him. And in Revelations, we see the angels finishing out the end times, very much active. So yes, angels are very active, yet there's problems that arose in, I forget which chapter, but Gnostic, or how they're pronouncing, were saying that you need to have a special vision to see and a relationship to see angels. That's not the focus. Christ is our focus. We need to know it, walk it, talk it, know it, and show it. It says Christ was made a little lower than the angels so he could feel what we feel, that he can be tempted with the same things we were tempted. The power of influence. My sister reminded me yesterday that it's been 5 years since my dad passed away, and it brought a lot of memories back, you know, how you first heard the news and just kind of the whole thing, and but other things that came into mind of influence were, there's two nephews said that how greatly grandfather influenced him. And it touched me because I focus on the bad things that I knew about Dad. But God can move us on from that with their expressions of how Grandpa had influenced them. Help me see my dad in a new light. One of these nephews is a plant manager. Every morning, he greets 150 men by their name. And he said how greatly Grandpa influenced him to do things like that. And this company recognizes that spirit and has paid him a lot of money, more money than most of us make in 4 years, he makes in a year. But they recognize this excellent spirit that came from an influence that I had no idea. But we will continue with looking at Eliezer. He accepted a challenge, verse 3:9. He examined the alternatives, and he made a promise to follow, made a plan. Thank you. And he submit the plan to God. I have to come tell you a little bit of a side story. My wife approached me one morning and said she feels the Lord is telling him building a house, and you know, well, instantly you think, well, oh yeah, is that so? And later she sat down where and shared with how she came to that, and I decided, you know, that's good. I can agree with that. But then it says, then this spoke to me, submit that plan to God. Submit it to God. I want to be sure. That's what first thing that she said, that I want to be sure. God didn't talk to me, so it's like, I want to be sure. Well, take it, submit it to God. Oftentimes I enter the day, you know, and praying, and God, if you don't want me to do this, stop me. And he submit the plan to God. He prayed for guidance. He devised a strategy with for God to operate in. When I go build this house, I want a strategy with God to operate in it. He waited, and he watched carefully. Accept the answer thankfully. Explain the situation to concerned parties. And he refused unnecessary delay. I think I have a weak hinge there. Unnecessary delay. I like to delay. I like to really make sure that God's in this and, you know, sitting back and not doing anything. And he followed through with the entire plan. And he worshiped the Lord for answering his prayers. A lot of this stemmed off from Abraham walking with God, influencing him to trust God. God took that servant out to find his only son a wife. It says, to prosper thy way. When we walk with God, we will also be tried. In Exodus 14, 4-5 says, I will bring from heaven, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they walk in my law or not. As we understand, God took these slaves out of here, and he told them what to do. He said, gather this much. That'll be enough for that day. Nothing more, nothing less. Did they do it? Next morning there was a stink because some had gathered too many. So many times we walk in something that we make it stink because we don't obey. God wants to see if you obey detailed instructions. We can learn to trust him as our Lord only by following. What does it mean by following? These steps, they have to keep going like this. We can learn to obey by taking small steps of obedience. I tell my children many times, they talk about getting jobs and getting this and that, and I said, the best thing you can do right now is to obey your mother and father, and God will make a way down the road. But obedience at home is a great start to where you want to end up if you stay in the Lord's will. You shall therefore, Leviticus, keep all my statutes, all my judgment, and do them. Here's why, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. Does it sound something like Revelation? That the land will not spew you out. Lukewarmness talks about Revelation, talks about lukewarmness. When we drink coffee and it's no longer hot, a lot of times it's kind of like, bah, you know, don't care for it. In Revelation, it talks about the wealth of that city was some of their weak points. I'm going to read a little bit in Leviticus. Leviticus 26:12-13. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. I have broken the bounds of your yoke and have made you go upright. Broken bands of your yoke. Imagine the joy of a slave being set free. God took the children of Israel out of the bitter slavery and gave them freedom and dignity. What does the word dignity mean? Self-worth. We too are set free when we accept Christ's payment that redeems us from the sin of slavery. We no longer need to be bogged down in shame over our past sin. We can walk with dignity because God has forgiven and forgotten them. But just as the Israelites were, and are still in danger of returning to the slave mentality, we need to be aware of temptations to return. Our senses, touching, seeing, hearing, feeling, are still active. God's whose spirit are still active to form sin patterns that we have left in the past. God's whose spirit is knocking is like a great searchlight, will reveal the areas we need to deal with. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not, this is a promise, walk in darkness. The pillar of fire represents God's presence, protection, and guidance. Jesus brings God's present protection, and is he the light of your world? Is your walk in that light? I'm going to read out of John 11. Verse 9 and 10. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Day means the knowledge of God's will. Night means the absence of knowledge. When we move ahead in darkness, we are likely to stumble. This again points back, we need to know it. Walk it, talk it, know it, show it. John 12:35. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is light with you. Walk while you have that light, lest darkness comes upon you. And for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. When you have light, believe in that light, that you may be the children of light. Listening and responding is vital in a relationship with God. Although God does not always use the sound of a human voice, he clearly speaks through his word. Know it. To receive his message, we must be ready to listen, to act upon what he tells. I'm going to flip back to 1 Samuel 2. I'm going to read 27 to 36. And there came a man unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy fathers when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice, and at my offerings, which I have commanded in my habitation, honorest thy sons above me? Make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore, the Lord God Israel says, I say indeed that thy house and the house of thy fathers should walk before me forever. But now, says the Lord, be it far from me. For them that honoreth me, I will honor. Them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the day comes, I will cut off thy arm and the arms of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thy house, and thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation. In all the wealth which God shall give Israel, there shall not be an old man in thy house forever. And a man of thine whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be consumed, shall be to consume thy eyes and to grieve thy heart, and all the increase of thy heart shall die in the flower of thy age. And it shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon the son, the two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall both die, and I will raise me a faithful priest. They shall do according to that which is in my heart, in my mind. I will build a sure house. He shall walk before me and my anointed forever. It shall come to pass that every one that is left in thy house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver or a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, in one of the priest's office, that I may eat a piece of bread. I'm going to read a little more in the next chapter, 1-3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord Eli. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim and he could not see, ere the Lamb of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Samuel was laid down to sleep. We could say, because Eli couldn't see, the light went out. That wasn't the case. Eli's sons were supposed to be there to replace him. When we don't know all these three and don't live them, we can't enforce them. Eli should have removed his son, but the lamp went out, not because of his dim eyes, but because of the sin in the house of the Lord. Passing the torch, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. God is looking for faithful. He doesn't need us in order to get his work done. He wants us faithfully to help him do it. Eli and his sons were not faithful, so God said he would choose someone else who would. When God has given you a job or a responsibility in family, church, community, do it faithfully, or God may find someone else to do it. Bible says he was kicking against the sacrifices. How do we kick against sacrifices today? I just wrote some thoughts down. First of all, it's family. In the youth meeting, Simon was talking about a lot of people confess that they have a relationship with God, but they can't seem to get along with anybody in the family. Is that kicking out a sacrifice? People are leaving one another, spouses and husbands leaving one another. They say they have a relationship with God. They're kicking against sacrifices. God first. Spouse and family can't get along with each other. There's divorce, can't get along with immediate family. Wife's family, we got to report his brother or her uncle didn't go to his brother's funeral. He goes to church every day. Is he kicking against the sacrifices? When people came to sacrifice, they wanted help before God. And the priests were to lead them there. Are you kicking? It's hard to kick against pricks. Church. These are my own words. I would often like to pull my family out of the church and worship along at home. People don't seem to get my view or listen. Someone offended me. What or who are you kicking against? Are you kicking against the sacrifice of God, the people that need help? The Bible says, blessed is the man that is not easily offended. Can God pour you in a mold? What the church should be like. Will you let God influence and mold you to his image? Community. Does the community around, these are again my thoughts, does the community around you see brotherly love in the body of Christ, or do they see the lamp of God going out? Has the enemy of Christ been given a cause to blaspheme God? Some time ago, I met a man. Of course, conversation starts. Where do you live? I could point, say, I live up here in Rexford. Used to be back here. Nonetheless, we got into conversation, who we know, as oftentimes it goes. And all of a sudden, he mentioned somebody. And he started cussing and cursing and swearing about them Christians. I never met anybody like it. But sadly, when I was a lost man, I saw them that way too. They did not know, they did not live, they did not walk what they talked, and they did not show it. I hope I have never to meet again, but are we kicking against the sacrifices of God? By not obeying. God must obey. Christians must obey the law or love, which supersedes both religious and civil laws. How easy is it to excuse our indifference to others merely because we have no legal obligation to help them? Even easy to justify harming them if our actions are technically legal. But Jesus does not leave loopholes in the law of love. Whenever love demands it, we are to go beyond human legal requirements and imitate the God of love. Walk it. Let him mold you. Galatians says this, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Live each day controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:15. I'm going to go back and read Romans first. Romans 14:8. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and arose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou say, sit at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess. So then, every one of us shall give an account to himself. Everybody will give account to himself. Let us not, therefore, judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man putteth a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Going to go to Galatians 5:15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye not consume one another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lust is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, I have a hard time pronouncing it, not as fool, but be wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I'm going to read Colossians 2. I'm going to start at 6 through 14. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and builded in him, established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding therewithin. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with his baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith, the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And ye, being dead in your sins and uncircumcised of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him and forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made show of them openly and triumphantly over them. I think I'm going to quit with that. I have a little more to share, but I met a man, I'm not sure, some years ago. I was in northern Indiana at that time. Somewhere along the line, first of all, I wanted to talk about Abraham's seed. It said, be sand as on the seashore. Are you going to leave any grains on all of this shore? Somewhere, the power of influence needs to leave a grain along this shore to reach everybody. But I met a man, he desired to walk all around the world. And I forget where he started. I think he started maybe up here, but I forget details. I got his book. His name was Steve Newman. And he walked everything he could on land as far as possibly could. And then he flew to the next point. He went all across the state. I remember one story he talked about in the Philippines. It was so hot, he decided he was going to walk at night. He knew it wasn't really safe, but he decided he's going to walk at night. That decision almost cost his life. Sometimes when we don't walk where we should, it can cost our life. But he was going along deep in the morning of the night. All of a sudden, two men jumped out of the ditch, and he had a backpack, and he started running as hard as he could. And this little guy was light and fast, and he said the machete came around and smacking right towards his neck. But his backpack, vertical piece in the backpack, saved his life. About that time, a truck comes around the bend and had a window open. He just dived right in there, and he got away. One thing that stuck with me, somebody asked him why he did it, and he said it was important to him to walk that, to do this, to accomplish this, to walk around the world. How important is your walk with God? Do you want to make it to eternity? I'm going to let you decide that. That's all I have to share for today.